Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's going on, all you crazy ghost enthusiasts out there? It's your boy, Ghost Joe. Welcome to episode 17 of the Warped Reality Podcast. We are off and running, guys. I'm so happy to be back doing my shows. I hope everybody is enjoying the content I'm putting out, and I'll be putting out way more content, as well as, you know, what I've been putting out. As well as I am recruiting for a little Warped Reality Podcast family. I already have a few people set up. Some you may know, some you may not know. And I'm just excited to keep it going, guys. What I am looking for is someone that writes short horror stories or creepy, you know, creepy stories. Anywhere, if you're going to talk them out, anywhere between 3 to 5 minutes long. If you write them and you don't want to narrate them, you don't have a microphone or whatever, you can write them and I'll find somebody to narrate them, or I'll do it myself. But yeah, so if you're interested in doing that, if you like to write some short stories, hey, I can't pay you because I'm not making any money off of this thing anyway. But, you know, I will pay you in gratitude. How about that? So if you're interested in doing that, please email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. So my first order of business is to talk to you guys about the 21 grams experiment. Have you guys ever heard of this before? Basically, the 21 grams experiment was a scientific study published in 1907 by Dr. Duncan MacDougall, a physician from Haverhill, Massachusetts. His experiment was to prove that humans have souls, and it could be proven by weighing the body right before death and immediately after. By the way, he also wanted to prove that animals did not have souls, which I think is kind of crazy. But hey, so he tested 6 subjects, human subjects, basically throwing out the fact that 5 of them did not lose any weight at the time of death. One person did. They lost, you guessed it, 21 grams. Many scientists feel that his whole experiment was flawed due to the small amount of people tested, and that only 1 in 6 somewhat proved his theory. He also tested 15 dogs to see if, you know, if they had souls. Now, the thing with that is he could not find any healthy deceased dogs, I guess you could say. So instead of, you know, not doing it, it's said that he poisoned 15 dogs to kill them just for his experiment, which did not come to fruition either. So, yeah, you know what? You can go screw yourself, dog killer. So the next piece of news that I have for you guys is that scientists recently discovered strange alien holes on the ocean floor, and they are baffled as to what could have made them. Explorers have discovered a series of mysterious, perfectly aligned holes punched into the sea floor roughly 1.6 miles beneath the ocean surface. The strange holes were spotted by the crew of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Okeanos Explorer vessel. That is a mouthful. As they investigated the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which is mainly an unexplored region that has the world's largest mountain range. These holes have been previously reported from the region, but their origins remain a mystery. While they look almost human-made, the little piles of sediment around the holes make them seem like they were excavated by something. You know, there are many theories that extraterrestrials have actually been on Earth longer than we have, and that they have hidden bases and their spaceships are on the ocean floor. You know, another crazy fact is that only 20% of the ocean has been explored and mapped. So it's definitely a possibility that there are millions of creatures down there that we have never seen before. Pretty wild, right? I thought so. So now on to I read it on Reddit. This one is entitled Aliens in My House. All right. So this story is going to be two encounters, as I feel they were probably related. It's about aliens, I think, but like many things that happen to me, I have really no idea. Newfoundland is an alien hotspot, if the stories I hear are any indication. Almost everyone I know has some story about when they lost huge chunks of time and that were missing, usually for about a day, but it can go as high as a week. I've never heard of any violent encounters, but a lot of I was frozen and couldn't move for a bit due to a light from the sky ones. It's a pretty good assumption that if aliens do exist, they stalk my family. My dad has stories about being frozen on beaches, being watched in his sleep, and a weird story about the stars changing configurations. My mom has stories about meeting aliens, and she has a few encounters or accounts of what they look like. I might tell those stories one day, but I really feel like this is a good introduction to the types of encounters my family has had. It all started when I was about 13. There's nothing overly remarkable about me other than the being in a military family, and I was more precocious than most. At the time, I was living in my dad's hometown, maybe a solid kilometer up a hill. My house was a raised bungalow, meaning that all of the first floor windows were about 10 feet off the ground. My window faced the front yard and was probably the only one that didn't have some kind of bush in front of it. Basically, I had a good solid view of my outside. One night, I remember being woken up fairly abruptly around 1 in the morning. Not unusual for a 13-year-old, so I thought, go get a drink, probably pee, and go back to bed. Except when I tried to... I'm sorry, I read that weird, and it sounded like he said, you know, he was going to drink some pee. So I'm going to reread that one. Not unusual for a 13-year-old, so I thought to go get a drink, probably pee, and go back to bed. Except when I tried to move, I couldn't. Some people describe the feeling of an overbearing weight that prevents them from moving. This wasn't that. It was like my whole body was asleep, complete with a tingly feeling and an utter lack of ability to move. I wasn't sleeping in a weird position, and aside from having maybe an extra blanket on the bed, I couldn't figure out a reason why this was happening. The only thing I could move was my head, as my neck felt asleep, but not enough to completely prevent movement like the rest of my body. So I flopped my head to one side, and that's when I saw it. In my window, roughly in the middle, was a disc-shaped object. It hovered maybe a foot away from the glass and didn't move. This is remarkable for anyone that has been to Newfoundland, where 40 kilometers winds are the norm basically every day. The disc was maybe 3 feet in diameter and the better part of a foot tall. It let of this low-grade, almost LED-like hue. Reminds me of those horrible blue Christmas lights. The thing had three thick prominent ridges on what I assumed to be the front of it, which was facing me. From the middle one came a red light, and the thing didn't have a lens. It kind of just emanated from this thing. It split into a wide vertical pattern and was scanning my body. When I moved my head, the disc was beaming around my belly button area. As soon as my head flopped, with maybe a second or so delay, it moved the scanning laser to my eyes. For maybe 5 seconds, I stared, rather uncomfortably, into this horrible red light, and it burned. I wanted to close my eyes desperately, as it felt not dissimilar to staring into the sun. But they wouldn't move. I tried to yell, as I recall, "Holy hell!" But I couldn't say anything. And much like staring into the sun, you see little else. After the 5 or so seconds, the light turned off and I could just make out that the disc object flew off down the road towards the ocean. I was awake for maybe 10 more seconds before I fell asleep. For full context, this happened in about 20 seconds, give or take. I need to point out, this happened in 2003 in rural Newfoundland. At that time, there were no such thing as drones. Drones were the terrifying flying machines the US was sending to bomb the crap out of Iraq. I had only even recently seen them on TV as those big white plane-looking things. I have no real explanation for this other than possibly aliens. I had tried to talk to my family and classmates about it, but they mostly called me a loony and laughed. Eventually, that night passed from me trying to tell people about it to no one will believe me, so why bother? A month, maybe two, passes, and my life carries on as normal. The only real difference is I became crap at math. I was a top student in my class, always pulling best grades for most of my school life until that point. Given the math isn't all that hard, but I really started to suck. My grades went from 90s to 60s, often 50s, and sometimes even failing in the math I was able to do not even 4 months ago. No one was concerned for some reason, but that was a frequent theme in my teen years, so I was now just a kid that had fallen from grace. Still had amazing grades and everything else, just never again in math. So one night, I remember being woken up. Again, my body felt like it was asleep, and again, I had some control over my neck. But I remember this like I remember a dream. But way too many details for it to be normal. But I'll get to that. The first thing that hits me is the blinding white light. It was coming from outside my window, brighter than stadium lights, and coming from who knows where, but I knew it was close to my house. All I heard was a low, growling hum coming from outside. In my room, where two of those discs I had seen before, shining a wide red light all over the room, which dampened the sheer brightness of the light outside enough that I could see. Then I see one of them. It walks into my room, and I remember being scared, but largely indifferent. It was easily over 12 feet tall and was uncomfortably skinny. Its arms and legs were way too long for the tiny torso it had, about the size of maybe a child. They were multi-jointed in at least 7 places that allowed it to fold up its arms and legs enough that it could fit in my room. I have no doubt that if it were to fully extend all of its joints, the thing could easily top 20 feet. It had hands which had too many joints on the fingers, way too many fingers and no thumbs. They were in half circle around its pretty round palm and generally unsettling now that I think about it. It had a head, a huge head, but it lacked any real eyes except for maybe tiny pinpoints where a massive socket would otherwise be. It had no nose, no hair, no real chin, and 2 holes where our cheeks would be. I'm guessing that might be a mouth, but hell if I know. The head was thin, because of course it was thin, and resembled somewhat an oblong pancake. I could go for some pancakes. Anyway, the whole thing had white skin with a gray undertone of what I assume to be such given the lighting in the room. The creature held out its hand, and instinctively, I held it. It walked me out of my room and was leading me to my living room. When I get into my hall, I see all the doors of my house are open, and there are dozens of these things sort of mewling about. I remember one looking in our linen closet, one walking into our basement, and another unscrewing a light bulb. All over the house were these discs that gave everything that faint red tint, and the huge stadium lights from outside making it look like broad daylight, but with a slight red tint. In the dining room was my mother, also stark naked, kind of just standing there as two of the creatures were in my kitchen doing something. Lying on the couch in my living room was my dad, again naked, with three of the creatures looming over him with a bunch of weird tools in their hands. I can assume doing some kind of procedure. I remember asking, "Where's my sister?" to which I got the reply, "Outside," from the creature holding my hand. I am still unsure if I heard this from inside my head or if the creature said something out of its uncomfortable holes, but I accepted that as good enough as an answer. As I walked by my dad, I could see the creatures were fiddling with my dad's junk, poking and prodding it. I remember being concerned as I knew my dad just had his vasectomy. But I again just got the feeling that it would be fine. The creature I was with placed me in the corner of the room facing the wall, and I sat down cross-legged without much issue. The creature then left, and I was there for about a minute or so. All I can remember from that time is a few details. Above me was one of the discs shining its broad red light, but I had the faint blue as well, giving my vision an odd hue. The only other distinguishing feature I remember is the silence, the piercing and utter silence, only broken my soft growling hum coming from outside. I remember then waking up, back in my bed, no worse for wear. All I think is, damn, that was a realistic dream, and went about my day. The only difference is I had, and still have, a small lump on the back of my neck the size of a split pea. It comes and goes. Sometimes I feel it and sometimes I don't. And a few times I have squeezed it and some dry, powdery substance came out. I just assumed it was weird pus, but if it ever happens again, I might try to get it looked at. A few years go by, and me and my dad were chatting, and we got on the topic of aliens. Just like, you know, everybody kind of does, I guess, right? One of his personal favorites. I tell my dad about the multi-joined creature thing, and before I can get to the point where I reach the living room, he says, "I had a dream like that. A bunch of skinny white men with hoods were cutting my junk. Red hue over everything. I remember seeing them sit you in a corner, and you just sort of stayed there for a bit. Crazy dreams, huh?" I asked if it seemed real to him, and he said, "Well, yeah. I had those kind of dreams since I was a kid. The white guys in hoods never do anything interesting. This was the only time. Our brains are weird, aren't they?" I've brought it up a few times since, but I do not get a whole lot more than what is above. My sister has somewhat of a similar story, but she remembers like 3 seconds of it. I have about maybe 2 minutes. The best guess I have is aliens, and this is far from the only time I encountered these creatures, but I'll save that story for another day. All right, and now we're going to check in with our new friends, Chris Whitehouse and the Whitehouse investigation team, with an awesome experience that they had, quite frightening if you ask me, but I've never been on a proper ghost investigation before. I mean, myself and my buddy Steve had went to Long Beach, California once, and we did like this little ghost tour with Queen Mary on the Queen Mary ship, which was pretty quite awesome. But, you know, there's always like a lot of people on those tours and you could really never catch anything. So it was kind of, you know, but it was cool to see that that thing going on. Anyways, I digress. Here's an awesome clip from our new friends, Chris Whitehouse and the Whitehouse Investigation Team. Check it out.
Hello, it's Chris from Whitehouse Investigations. I recorded some audio with my sister while we were out investigating, and hopefully the microphone didn't get affected by the wind too much. Here's what Becky had to say on another encounter we had in a graveyard.
Yes, so we'd split into groups of two, and it was just you and I walking through the cemetery on our own, and we walked up a path towards some more graves, and I heard clearly a growl coming from the bushes sort of behind us, and it made me, I think I grabbed you, it made me very, very jump.
Yeah.
And you didn't hear it, did you?
I didn't hear anything.
But yeah, I was adamant that I'd heard something.
You said, "Did you hear that?"
Yeah, it was a deep growl.
Yeah.
And then, but then you second guess yourself, don't you? And you played back the video.
Yeah.
And we heard something. There was something on there.
It was something that wasn't what we heard.
No, it was.
It was like a distorted.
Yeah, muffle almost. Something.
Yeah, I could probably send that audio.
Yeah, send it over. But yeah, no, that was probably. I think that was one of the first times I'd really heard something that clearly, and it definitely frightened. I think it shook me for the rest of the night, to be honest.
Yeah, did that shake you? A little bit of pollen, whatever, went by then as well. Okay, so we are at Jumpy, but we'll see how tonight goes.
Here is that clip from the video.
How are you feeling?
Fine.
Yeah.
Not scared at all.
No.
Nothing, absolutely fine. Is somebody walking with us? Is there anybody with us now?
What?
Growl. Full-on growl. You must have heard that, Chris.
What? What? I heard a bird in a tree.
No, it was...
I did not hear that, yes?
Like, literally from over there. It sounded like there was a tiger. That's what it sounded like.
Okay.
I can't believe you didn't hear that.
I have a, I'm recording.
Demon.
Whoa.
So that was a quick clip from our friends, Chris Whitehouse and the Whitehouse Investigation Group. Thank you guys so much for contributing that. I have more on the way, guys. So if you like that, you're definitely going to like everything else this group does. Please check out all of their social media, their YouTube. I'll link it in the show notes. And everything else these guys do, they're awesome, very down to earth, very professional, and they don't scare easy, that's for sure. So please check out all of their stuff. Great people. I'm so happy to have met them and to be working with them. But I actually have a little story about something with a cemetery as well. So in where I grew up, which was Staten Island, New York, represent Staten Island. Let me say that again, because us Staten Islanders say it a little differently. It's a very historical island. Okay, parts of the Revolutionary War was fought there. In the conference house, which I will get into another day, because I've had some crazy experiences there as well. Part of the Declaration of Independence was signed there. I mean, very, very historical place. But there was this small cemetery that my friend Dave and I, actually the announcer in the beginning of the show, Dave, we had stopped there. I don't even know why, to be honest with you. It was just a weird thing. We just wanted to stop there for some reason. And we both took turns walking through there. Just, I don't even know why. Something drew us there, I guess, or something. I can't even explain it. You know, we were younger, in early 20s, you know, whatever. And he went first and he walked and he came back or whatever. And I said, you know what, Dave? I said, let me take a walk real quick. So I'm walking through, you know, just basically around in a circle, but he was still waiting in the car. I know he wasn't anywhere near me because I looked around behind me back and forth and there was nobody with me. But a few feet behind me, now, mind you, it was early fall, and I kept hearing crunching and rustling in the leaves directly behind my feet. Whenever I walked, I heard rustling right behind me as if somebody was following me 2 or 3 feet right behind me. And I kept looking back. So don't get me wrong. I mean, if Dave was there, I would have spotted him and he would have came out laughing and we would have, you know, whatever. But there was nobody around me. Or was there? You know, and it was, even though it was a small experience and a very quick experience, it stuck with me up until now, I guess. And now I'm immortalizing it on audio. So now it will live forever. But I'm sure a lot of other people have had similar experiences like that. You know, there's a lot of dead people in cemeteries, you know. So I'm sure if there's going to be ghosts. They're going to be in cemeteries. And by the way, that experience that I had was in broad daylight. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And it was really one of the first experiences that I had that was actually in the broad daylight like that, where I'm like, oh, crap, I guess they could get to you in the daytime, too. You know? So, yeah, guys, again, thank you so much, Chris and your team. And please check out all of their social medias. They're awesome. Thanks again. All right, now on to another segment of mine called Haunted eBay. So let's go. Oh, by the way, just so you guys know, April's Creepy Corner should be coming back pretty soon, hopefully. Isn't that right, April? Anyway, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to that. I love her content. She's awesome. She always, you know, gives it a little bit of a spin on it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that coming back. So please stay tuned for April's Creepy Corner in the next episodes. Anyway, let's get on with some haunted eBay. Right now I have a real haunted mask, active, black possessed, creepy, scary, spooky spirit. And it kind of looks like the mask from the movie The Mask. Not the Rocky Dennis thing, you know, the Jim Carrey movie. And it goes for $775. Yeah. So that's something. And, the shipping is $25 as well. So it's a little expensive for a haunted mask, but hey, here is the description. My name is Benjamin, and I am the owner of a haunted doll museum. I collect and own haunted dolls from all around the world. Welcome to my shop. Take a look at this haunted mask and the other dolls we have for sale. I purchase and rehome haunted dolls and items from all over the world. The paranormal has been part of our lives forever. We are glad you are on our page, as we have amazing items at decent prices, $775 plus $25 shipping and handling. We often visit various haunted, spooky, and abandoned places. This mask has a strong male spirit attached to it. New and odd things started happening immediately after this mask was brought into our home. The mask was purchased from another individual who does investigations. He said that electronics in his house would go crazy with the mask around. Well, the same exact thing happened with us. Yes, it was scary, but very interesting. The man will communicate with spirit board and spirit box, as well as various noises. Per eBay, I must state that this is a tangible item for sale, and we are not responsible for any paranormal activity that may or may not occur. Thank you for looking. Check out my favorite haunted dolls caught on tape video. So, yeah, so that's the haunted demon mask, I guess you would say. The black possessed, creepy, scary, spooky spirit mask. So, yeah, that's item number one. Let's check out item number two. And now the second and last item that I have for you guys is called Haunted Item Paranormal Mandolin Instrument, ZZ Top, Active Spirit, and it's not a doll. It goes for $500 if you want to buy it now, and $86.10 for shipping. That's a weird price for shipping, but hey, Haunted Item Paranormal Mandolin Instrument, ZZ Top Active Spirit, cousin of the great group ZZ Top. You can expect to hear sounds coming from the instrument. The smell of cigarettes activity has been crazy since having this item. I've seen the disembodiment of a bearded man many times, cigarette smoke many times, a man sitting on one of the bar stools I have in my kitchen, music from an old radio I have will start playing at times, things moved around, doors opening and shutting, loud banging sounds, footsteps, etc. So, yeah, so if you want a haunted mandolin, it'll only cost you $586.10. So check it out. Oh, by the way, fun fact about music group ZZ Top. Did you guys know that the drummer, I believe his name was Mike Beard or Frank Beard, he was the only one without a beard, which was kind of odd, right? And his name was Beard. So, hey, if you want this mandolin, go check it out on eBay. It's there. again, I just want to say, guys, anything that I say on this haunted eBay stuff, it's just for fun, basically. You know, some of it might be taken seriously, of course, but don't expect if you buy it, you know, we're not taking any responsibility if you get it and paranormal things happen or they don't happen, okay? This is just for entertainment purposes, you know, blah, 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 blah. All right. So that'll do it for me, guys, on episode 17 of the Warped Reality Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com for all of your warp needs, all of the episodes, as well as a blog and some other stuff as well, and some information on some of the guests that I've interviewed. Please check all that out. Also, again, check out Chris Whitehouse and his Whitehouse Investigation Team on all of their social media. They're awesome. And I have plenty of things coming for you guys. Some great new segments, some great new interviews that I will definitely be working on, and to bring you guys the best in all of paranormal stuff. So yeah, guys, have a great night, and don't forget to change your shorts.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Podcast. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can leave me a voicemail at 845-379-1331 or email me at ghostshowny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpedrealitypodcast.com. Have an awesome night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.